Welcome to the Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley at Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. May the Lord inspire, encourage, and direct you today. May you be transformed and refreshed by the Water of the Word.
So you know what they adopted their strategy to survive? Compromise. Yeah. Put the wet, moistened finger to the wind of new culture. Get a hold of who's coming in, the next great king in his culture. Roll out the carpet for him that they feel right at home in the new and next culture. And so impressed was the next king or potentate that they dare not destroy the city. After all, there was a huge entertainment industry there. That's where the first Disneyland was, I'm pretty sure. Laodicea comes from two words, laos, meaning laity. You have your professional sort of people, and then you have your laity. And dios is where we're going to get our word democracy, or the people. The very name means the laity ruling. The people rule. Let's see about that church, verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, where the congregation in the culture calls the shots, write these things, says the what? Amen. Now, do you know what amen means? It means so be it. This is an idea of a solid backbone. The Laodiceans were used to sort of just laying down for the next culture. Jesus says, that's not how I do things. I'm the amen. The faithful, Jesus never changes, no matter what this culture or what is cool. And the true witness, this is a little scary. That word in Greek for witness is martyo. It's where we're going to get our word martyr from. Why is that in here? It would appear that the church of Laodicea will persecute its detractors. And the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus says, I am the foundation of the earth. I am the foundation of the church. I am the creator. Stark contrast to where the people are creating ministries of their own. Verse 15. I know your works. Hey, he said that to the church of Philadelphia. But their works were different. And they were getting crowns for their works. Look at this one. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. You see, if you're hot for the Lord, God can use you. And if you're cold, at least God can convict you. The real hard part is when you don't even know. You are lukewarm. And because you're neither hot nor cold, verse 16. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will, what's your word say? Yeah, that's not a seeker-friendly word there, Lord Jesus. Why did he choose that word? There's a real sickness involved. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that actually you are wretched. You're miserable. No, we're not. We've got programs like crazy. Well, you're going to programs, but how's your marriage? How's your addiction? How's it really and truly going? Poor, blind, and naked. And here's the thing. Lukewarm Christians, they can't see that. They're convinced that they're doing great. That's the thing with humans. If you're driving down the road and you see a church off to one side, we would look at it at first glance, and we are people, and we like what we like. That church is successful. Well, what are your benchmarks? How would you describe, and why would you say that one is successful? Well, look at the beautiful facility. Look at the size of it. Look at all the humans going in for 3 and 4 services a Sunday. They are successful. Say the humans. What about this church over there? Well, they're very, very small. What are their programs? Well, they pretty much teach the Bible and they pray and they fast. What's fun about that? When the humans are making the assessments, it's the humans that like to say, boy, they're doing really good. They're rich, they're wealthy, and they don't need anything. Good possibility that they may be hoodwinked. Lukewarm people can't see that. They're convinced that they're fine, thank you. When they may be in the gravest danger of all, even right in your margin here, Matthew 7:21. I'll read it to you. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father. Many will say to me in that day, what day is that? It's judgment day. Many will say to me on judgment day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Well, that's a pretty church thing to do. Haven't we even cast out demons in your name? Well, you can't cast out demons, really, unless you have the Spirit of God, right? Oh, look up the sons of Sceva in the book of Acts. You remember that story? Evidently, exorcism was quite a booming business. Real and true, bona fide, demonized people would hire these professionals. And the sons of Sceva, evidently, looked at what Paul was doing. Paul was just saying the name of Jesus Christ, and demons were popping out. The protracted methodology of the other guys took days sometimes and cost a lot of money. So the sons of Sceva evidently were invited to this one household when there was this one particularly powerful and obstinate demon. And they say, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preaches, come out. And the demon says, well, Paul I know and Jesus I know, but who are you? And he tosses them all out the windows, bruised and bleeding. Cast out demons in your name. And done many wonders, if you will, many works in your name. And I will say to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Here's the hard part. You're not going to probably hear this portion in most of these Laodicean-flavored churches. That Jesus will say to many, not a few, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Contrast that with John 10:27. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. In the Laodicean church, they're very felt need-centered. Let's don't offend the people. More specifically, let's don't offend their wallets. After all, we have to pay for all of this. How will I know if I'm in a Laodicean church or if a Laodicean church attitude is in me? What do? Thank you, Jesus. Verse 18. Here's what you do. Number one, buy for me gold refined in the... Yeah, how many of you guys like that? That's number one, that you may be rich. Number two, put on some white or holy garments that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed. And number three, anoint your eyes with eye salve that you may see. Lord, is there a Laodicean thing in me? I think I'm doing great, but that thing that Pastor Steve said, depart from me? Whew. How do I know that's not me? Jesus said, ask God to send you the fire. Lord, bring the trials and the tribulations. Lord, go ahead and attack my portfolio and my wallet. More specifically, allow the enemy to do that. Lord, if I'm cruising along thinking that my marriage is all that and a bag of chips, and maybe my wife doesn't think the same thing or my husband, Lord, bring the trials and bring it out in the opening. Physical health. How do you want to pray that one? Lord, show me where I'm holding on too tight to something. How do I know? Because when you take it away, do I fall apart? Is it an artificial life support system? Even tougher, if it has a Jesified name to it and it's within a church building. come to the group so and so and so and so. I can't survive without my group. Is that true? You guys, we need Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's what I read in the Bible. Harvest family, do you shake up and fold up at the merest puff of adversity, or run quickly to your counselor or your church group or your whatever small group? I gotta have it. I gotta have it. And if God were ever to take that away from you, would you fold? Or specifically, would you leave this church because they're not doing it right and go find you one that does? Ah, there's my group. It's a penetrating question. Lord, am I holding on to any artificial spiritual life system? If I am, Lord, whoo, I'm feeling this one. If I am, Lord, that means the enemy knows it too. And at just the right time, he'll poke at it, and I fall apart like a house of cards. Lord, is that true in me? If I'm holding on to an artificial life support system, take it away. Number two, clothe yourself in holiness. That's the Greek word for setting apart yourself, your heart, your mind, and your stuff for Him. Number three, anoint your eyes. And here's how you can anoint your eyes harvest. Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. Bust it out, stick a crowbar in it, and read Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7 every day this week. Or get on our website and click on radio messages if you're an auditory learner, and click on and listen to sessions 7 through 12. You want to see if there's anything in front of your eyes? Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And finally, verse 19. For as many as I love, I what? Ooh. We don't like rebuke. And that is certainly not a part of the curriculum of the Laodicean church. What is rebuke? Stop that! You're killing yourself, and you are an open door to God's church. Stop! What if I don't? Then Matthew 18. And if you still won't stop, we break fellowship with the broken and heavy heart. Repent means stop, change it, don't go there anymore. Don't hang out with them any longer. Stop sleeping with your boyfriend. Imagine if the leadership of most of these very large churches would just stand on that one. Here is what the laos, the people, want to hear. They don't want to hear any of that. Make me feel better, please, Pastor. Pastor, please make me feel better. That's why I come here. Please understand the church isn't for us. Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights and Tuesday nights are not for us. But it makes me feel better. Well, yeah, when you hang out with the Lord, your heart does change, but that's not the real reason. We come to worship Him. And then when somebody sits in my seat, it's not a big deal. Give me emotionally stirring music by talented performers. I want to belong to a culturally current, socially responsible, highly visible vision and movement in my city. What did Jesus say about the works thing? I want bite-sized topical messages, please, about felt needs. Please show me how to manage my money. Here's a good one. Be sure you teach a message or series on how my spouse needs to understand me better. Here's another good one. Please tell me what my purpose is. Oh, and I want lots of small groups around common interests so that we all can feel good about what we're doing together. Verse 20, I stand at the door and knock. Please notice. I stand at the door and knock. Please notice. Where is Jesus? He's outside. Church of Laodicea, the last days, Jesus said, they're going to think they're all that in a bag of chips. I'm not really even in the midst. Even if they have their Bibles, even if the pastor squints a bit into the television lights and camera, And even though he says, hold up your Bible and maybe make a pronouncement of whatever, then quickly close the Bible, fold it quietly on your lap, because we won't be referring to it again. Jesus is outside of this church, you guys. You're not hot, you're not cold. I can't use you. You're not cold, I can't convict you. Can't even convict you. You're convinced that you're doing the will and you feel good about doing it. And yet many who are faithfully attending that church, they think they're saved, and they are not. Let's finish up. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him. Poor Jesus is on the outside. No matter how slamming the music was, and how tearfully we raised hands and our hearts swelled with beautiful sentiments about an awesome God, there's the distinct possibility that Jesus isn't even there. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, the words that I speak to you are spirit and their life. If there's not much of God's word verse by verse, then there's a good chance that Jesus himself doesn't have a whole lot of room to work. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him, dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. As I also have overcome and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Are you saved, Harvest? Are you saved? Have you given all of your life to him? Do you recognize, like Billy Graham would say, that all of your sin is still counting to you unless you receive his finished work on the cross? Last Wednesday, Billy Graham passed away. Born in 1918, Charlotte, North Carolina, he died on Wednesday. He has personally preached over 215 million people, 185 countries, 6 continents. He was one of the first ministers known widely as, quote, America's pastor. Would you agree? You know, we don't have time. I had a video. I won't have time to run it. Sorry, guys. It would have been a video from June the 21st, 1987, in Fargo, North Dakota. It's about 3.5 minutes long. Let it roll!
You can't change your past, but Christ can. Christ can change the past by covering your sins with his blood and forgiving all the sins and mistakes you ever made. That's a wonderful thing, because God has a set of tapes in which everything you've ever said and everything you've ever done and everything you've ever thought is there and will be played at the judgment. But if you come to Christ and surrender totally to him, he wipes out the tapes, he erases the tapes, and no one will ever hear them. Somebody says, follow your conscience, but your conscience may be seared, or it may be dead. It may be no good. It'll lead you wrong. You can be sincere, but be wrong. And many of you can be sincere in your beliefs and in what you're doing and the way you're living, but deep in your heart, you're wrong. You're not going according to the scriptures. You're not going according to what Christ says. And the scripture says you must come to the cross and repent of your sins and let Christ forgive your sins from the cross and wash your sins by his own blood and receive the righteousness of God. God has an ability that you don't have. He has the ability to forget. He forgets our sins. And that's the most thrilling thought in the world, is to go to bed at night and know that your sins are forgiven. Many of you must decide this afternoon. Before you leave here, every person here will decide one way or the other about your relationship to God. Some of you need to rededicate your life to Christ. Some of you need a new experience with Christ. Others of you need to come to Christ perhaps for the first time in total surrender of your life to him, if you're going to be forgiven of your sins, if you're going to get to heaven. What about you? Do you know Christ? Are you ready for death? Because it's coming. And for some of you, there's no way out. There's pressures and troubles and trials in your life. and difficulties and problems, and there seems to be no answer. It may be you and your wife. You just can't seem to make it. You love each other, and yet you don't. And you fight and you scrap. Is there any way out? Yes, there's a way. Jesus said, I am the way. The choice that some of you make today will decide where your children are going to be, where your grandchildren are going to be, what their lives are going to be like. It's the choices that we make. Moses said, I call heaven and earth to record this day that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your children may live. It affected future generations. What are you going to do about it?
Next Wednesday and Thursday, they'll show throughout the day, I would imagine, Billy Graham's casket there. Where? The U.S. Capitol Rotunda. Hey, America! Last slide. Is this the end of the Church of Philadelphia in America? Is God trying to nudge one more time? You know what's next? The Church of Laodicea. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, my job is not to entertain and jump up and down with scriptural pom-poms. Lord, my job, as I see it, is to teach the word and to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. And Lord, I was enlightened and I was encouraged by the descriptions of the Church of Philadelphia, and I pray that some of those are here. And Lord, I was sternly warned about the details and aspects of the Church of Laodicea, and I don't want any of that happening around here. Lord, we want to pare down and pare back anything in this ministry that detracts from the simple knowledge of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because the laity likes to run the show. Give us what we want, Pastor. And if you don't, there's plenty of churches that will. There's the real possibility that we as Christians in this Laodicean age have accumulated around our spiritual walk artificial life support systems. If you're getting your diet of God's Word in weekly installments, that's an anemic diet indeed. Harvest, are you learning how to gather the manna for yourself? Are you becoming and growing unflappable? Is there any news from any place that could destroy your foundation and make you want to fold and to quit? A marriage? A church? Lord Jesus, if there's any Laodicean things happening around in my heart, would you show me? Well, how do you show me? You got to bring the fire. Bring the fire. James, knowing that these trials and tribulations, they build a strong foundation. Everybody's head down and everybody's eyes closed. If you don't know the Lord Jesus or not sure you do, no one can say it better than Billy Graham. What are you waiting for? You and I are sinners. We're not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. Billy Graham said that. We can't help and we can't stop. I don't care how many Dr. Phil shows you watch. You need supernatural resources and a filling of God's Holy Spirit and a renewed heart and mind. And if that's you, in Jesus' name, raise your hand. I give you all of my life, Lord. No more excuses. Save me. Oh, those tapes that Billy Graham talked about, would you throw those into the sea of forgetfulness? Would you toss them as far as the east is from the west? I give you my life, Lord Jesus. You died on a cross, your blood shed for me. With my brain, I get it. And now with my heart, I commit to you. I am yours. I am yours. I am yours, Lord Jesus. And everybody said, amen.
You You've been listening to Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Services are Wednesday evenings at 6:30 and Sunday mornings at 10:30. Pastor Steve encourages you to follow Acts chapter 2, verse 42, Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. If you'd like to hear today's message in its full, unedited form or view the verse-by-verse teachings from Pastor Steve, visit harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.